Lodish 9.6. Morphology and functional elements of eukaryotic chromosomes. Chromatin is further organized into large units, hundreds to thousands of kilobases in length, called chromosomes. Microscopic observations on the number and size of chromosomes and their staining patterns led to the discovery of many important general characteristics of chromosome structure. Chromosome number, size, and shape at metaphase are species-specific. In non-dividing cells, the chromosomes are not visible, even with the aid of histologic stains for DNA, e.g., Fulgen or GEMSA stains, or electron microscopy. During mitosis and meiosis, however, the chromosomes condense and become visible in the light microscope. Therefore, almost all cytogenetic work, i.e., studies of chromosome morphology, has been done with condensed metaphase chromosomes obtained from dividing cells, either somatic cells in mitosis or dividing gametes during meiosis. The condensation of metaphase chromosomes probably results from several orders of folding and coiling of 13M chromatin fibers. Recall from Chapter 5 that at the time of mitosis, cells have already progressed through the S phase of the cell cycle and have replicated their DNA, so the chromosomes that become visible during metaphase are duplicated structures, see Figure 556. Each metaphase chromosome consists of two sister chromatids, which are attached at the centromere. The number, sizes, and shapes of the metaphase chromosomes constitute the karyotype, which is distinctive for each species. In most organisms, all cells have the same karyotype. However, species that appear quite similar can have very different karyotypes, indicating that similar genetic potential can be organized on chromosomes in very different ways, Figure 933. Non-histone proteins provide a structural scaffold for long chromatin loops. Although histones are the predominant proteins in chromosomes, non-histone proteins are also involved in organizing the structure of chromosomes. Electron micrographs of histone-depleted metaphase chromosomes from HeLa cells reveal long loops of DNA anchored to a chromosome scaffold composed of non-histone proteins, Figure 934. This scaffold has the shape of the metaphase chromosome and persists even when the DNA is digested by nucleases. As depicted schematically in Figure 935, megabase long loops of the 13M chromatin fiber are thought to associate with the flexible chromosome scaffold, yielding an extended form characteristic of chromosomes during interphase. Coiling of the scaffold into a helix and further packing of this helical structure produces the highly condensed structure characteristic of metaphase chromosomes. In situ hybridization experiments with several different fluorescent-labeled probes to DNA in human interphase cells support the loop model shown in Figure 935. In these experiments, some probe sequence separated by millions of base pairs in linear DNA appeared reproducibly very close to each other in interphase nuclei from different cells, Figure 936. These closely spaced probe sites are postulated to be close to specific sequences in the DNA, called scaffold-associated regions SARs, or matrix attachment regions MARs, that are bound to the chromosome scaffold. SARs have been mapped by digesting histone-depleted chromosomes with restriction enzymes, and then recovering the fragments that are bound to scaffold proteins. In general, SARs are found between transcription units. In other words, genes are located primarily within chromatin loops, which are attached at their bases to a chromosome scaffold. Experiments with transgenic mice indicate that in some cases SARs are required for transcription of neighboring genes. In Drosophila, some SARs can insulate transcription units from each other so that proteins regulating transcription of one gene do not influence the transcription of a neighboring gene separated by a SAR. Individual interphase chromosomes, which are less condensed than metaphase chromosomes, cannot be resolved by standard microscopy or electron microscopy. Nonetheless, the chromatin of interphase cells is associated with extended scaffolds and is further organized into specific domains. This can be demonstrated by the in situ hybridization of interphase nuclei with a large mixture of fluorescent labeled probes specific for sequences along the lengths of a particular chromosome. As illustrated in Figure 937, the probes are visualized within restricted regions or domains of the nucleus rather than appearing throughout the nucleus. Use of probes specific for different chromosomes shows that there is little overlap between chromosomes and interphase nuclei. However, the precise positions of chromosomes is not reproducible between cells. Chromatin contains small amounts of other proteins in addition to histones and scaffold proteins. The total mass of the histones associated with DNA and chromatin is about equal to that of the DNA. Interphase chromatin and metaphase chromosomes also contain small amounts of a complex set of other proteins. For instance, a growing list of DNA binding transcription factors have been identified associated with interphase chromatin. The structure and function of these critical non-histone proteins, which help regulate transcription, are examined in Chapter 10. Other low-abundance non-histone proteins associated with chromatin regulate DNA replication, Chapter 12. A few other non-histone DNA binding proteins are present in much larger amounts than the transcription or replication factors. Some of these exhibit high mobility during electrophoretic separation, and thus have been designated HMG high mobility group proteins. When genes encoding the most abundant of these are deleted from yeast cells, normal transcription is disturbed in most genes examined. Some HMG proteins have been found to bind to DNA cooperatively with sequence-specific transcription factors, stabilizing multiprotein complexes that regulate transcription of a neighboring gene, Chapter 10. Stain chromosomes have characteristic banding patterns. Certain dyes selectively stain some regions of metaphase chromosomes more intensely than other regions, producing banding patterns that are specific for individual chromosomes. Although the molecular basis for the regularity of chromosomal bands remains unknown, they are very useful. When stained chromosomes are viewed microscopically, these bands serve as landmarks along the length of each chromosome, and also help to distinguish chromosomes of similar size and shape. Banding in metaphase chromosomes. Quinacrine, a fluorescent dye that inserts intercalates between base pairs in the DNA helix, produces Q bands. However, because Q bands fade with time, other staining techniques are generally preferred in the laboratory. For example, chromosomes can be subjected briefly to mild heat or proteolysis, and then stained with GEMS reagent, a permanent DNA dye, to produce a pattern of G bands. See Figure 821. Treatment of chromosomes with a hot alkaline solution before staining with GEMS reagent produces R bands, in a pattern that is approximately the reverse of the G band pattern. The distinctiveness of these banding patterns permits cytologists to identify specific parts of a chromosome and to locate the sites of chromosomal breaks and translocations, Figure 938a. In addition, clone DNA probes that have hybridized a specific sequences in the chromosomes can be located in particular bands. Banding in interphase polyteen chromosomes. For nearly a century, cytologists have observed stainable bands in interphase polyteen chromosomes in the salivary glands of Drosophila melanogaster and other Dipteran insects. See Figure 822. Although the bands in human chromosomes probably represent very long folded or compacted stretches of DNA containing about 107 base pairs, the bands in Drosophila chromosomes represent much shorter stretches of only 50,000-100,000 base pairs. The detailed banding of insect salivary gland chromosomes occurs because of polytenization, which results in thick bundles of parallel interphase chromosomes that all have the same banding pattern across the widths of the bundle. See Figure 926. Molecular cloning experiments and mRNA mapping studies have suggested that each band contains a limited number of transcription units, perhaps only one unit in some cases. However, transcription units can also be found in interband stretches of DNA, thus the relationship between banding and function is still unclear. Nonetheless, the reproducible pattern of bands seen in Drosophila salivary gland chromosomes provides an extremely powerful method for locating specific DNA sequences along the lengths of the chromosomes in this species. Chromosome painting distinguishes each homologous pair by color. A recently developed method for visualizing each of the human chromosomes in distinct, bright colors, called chromosome painting, greatly simplifies the distinction between chromosomes of similar size and shape. This technique makes use of probes specific for sites scattered along the lengths of each chromosome. The probes are labeled with one of two dyes that fluoresce at different wavelengths. Probes specific for each chromosome are labeled with a predetermined fraction of each of the two dyes. After the probes are hybridized to chromosomes and the excess removed, the sample is placed in a fluorescent microscope in which a detector determines the fraction of each dye present at each fluorescing position in the microscopic field. This information is conveyed to a computer, and a special program assigns a false color image to each type of chromosome. See chapter opening figure. A combination of chromosome painting and fluorescent in situ hybridization, called multicolor fish, can detect chromosomal translocations. Figure 938b. The much more detailed analysis possible with this technique permits detection of chromosomal translocations that banding analysis does not reveal. Heterochromatin consists of chromosome regions that do not uncoil as cells exit from mitosis, and the condensed chromosomes uncoil. Certain sections of the chromosomes remain dark staining. The dark staining areas, termed heterochromatin, are regions of condensed chromatin. The light staining, less condensed portions of chromatin are called euchromatin. The distinctions between heterochromatin and euchromatin are most clearly visualized in polyteen chromosomes such as those of Drosophila salivary gland cells. Heterochromatin appears most frequently, but not exclusively, at the centromere and telomeres of chromosomes, and most of the DNA in heterochromatin is simple sequence DNA. In mammalian cells, heterochromatin appears as darkly staining regions of the nucleus, often associated with the nuclear envelope. Figure 939. Pulse labeling with 3H uridine and autoradiography have shown that most transcription occurs in regions of euchromatin and the nucleolus. Because of this, and because heterochromatic regions apparently remain condensed throughout the life cycle of the cell, they have been regarded as sites of inactive genes. However, some genes have been found that are located in regions of heterochromatin. Also, not all inactive genes and non-transcribed regions of DNA are visible as heterochromatin. Three functional elements are required for replication and stable inheritance of chromosomes. So far, we have seen that the eukaryotic chromosome is a linear structure composed of an immensely long, single DNA molecule that is wound around histone octamers about every 200 bp, forming strings of closely packed nucleosomes. Nucleosomes fold to form a third TNM chromatin fiber, which is attached to a flexible protein scaffold at intervals of millions of base pairs, resulting in long loops of chromatin extending from the scaffold. See figure 935. In addition to this general chromosomal structure, a complex set of thousands of low-abundance regulatory proteins are associated with specific sequences in chromosomal DNA. Although chromosomes differ in length and number among species, cytogenetic studies have shown that they all behave similarly at the time of cell division. Recombinant DNA research with yeast cells has identified all of the chromosomal elements that are necessary for equal segregation of sister chromatids to occur during mitosis. The culmination of this work has been construction of yeast artificial chromosomes, YACs. In order to duplicate and segregate correctly, chromosomes must contain three functional elements: one, origins for initiation of DNA replication, to the centromere, and three, the tuins, or telomeres, autonomously replicating sequences, yeast origins. In eukaryotic DNA, replication origins were first identified by their function in yeast transformation studies. If yeast cells lack a particular gene, e.g., one of the genes that encode an enzyme for synthesis of the amino acid leucine, they can be transformed with clone plasmids containing the missing DNA, in this case, a LAU gene. LAU plus transformants, which can grow on media lacking leucine, are obtained much more frequently if the plasmid contains one of many sequences from the yeast genome of approximately 100 base pairs called autonomously replicating sequences. Figure 940a. an autonomously replicating sequence ARSX, as an origin of replication, allowing the transformed circular plasmid to replicate in the yeast cell nucleus. The function of ARS is as origins of DNA replication is discussed in Chapter 12. Centromeres. In a culture of leucine requiring yeast cells transformed with a simple circular LAU/ARS containing plasmid, only about 5-20% of progeny cells contain the plasmid, because mitotic segregation of the plasmids is faulty. As a result, most of the time plasmid DNA does not enter the bud. However, if restriction fragments of yeast genomic DNA are cloned into such circular plasmids, a small fraction of fragments are found to confer equal segregation of the plasmids to both mother and daughter cells following mitosis, figure 940b. Because the fragments with this effect were found to be derived from the centromeres of yeast chromosomes, they are called CEN sequences. Such cloning experiments have led to isolation of sequences that improve mitotic segregation to the extent that 90% of the progeny of transformed LU yeast cells contain the LAU plasmid. These cells and almost all of their descendants therefore grow well in a medium lacking leucine. Once the yeast centromere regions that confer mitotic segregation were cloned, their sequences could be determined and compared. Comparison of different yeast centromeres has revealed three regions I, and III, that are necessary for a centromere to function, figure 941. Short, fairly well-conserved nucleotide sequences are present in regions I, and III. Although region I seems to have a fairly constant length 78-86 base pairs, it contains no definite consensus sequence. However, it is rich in ANT residues. One Drosophila simple sequence DNA, which comes from a centromeric region, has a repeat unit that bears some similarity to yeast CEN regions I, and III, suggesting that similar mechanisms may control segregation in yeast and higher eukaryotes. The role of the centromere and proteins that bind to it in the segregation of sister chromatids during mitosis are described in Chapter 19. Telomeres. If circular plasmids containing an ARS and CEN sequence are cut once with a restriction enzyme, they become linear. Such linear plasmids do not replicate in yeast cells unless they contain special telomeric tel sequences ligated to their ends, figure 940c. The first successful experiments involving transfection of yeast cells with linear plasmids were achieved by using the ends of a DNA molecule that was known to replicate as a linear molecule in the ciliated protozoan Tetrahymena. During part of the life cycle of Tetrahymena, much of the nuclear DNA is repeatedly copied in short pieces to form a so-called macronucleus. One of these repeated fragments was identified as a dimer of ribosomal DNA, the ends of which contained a repeated sequence G42, and when a section of this repeated tel sequence was ligated to the ends of linear yeast plasmids containing ARS and CEN, replication and good segregation of the plasmids occurred. Considerable research has revealed that telomeric DNA has a characteristic type of sequence and is added to the ends of DNA molecules by a special enzyme termed telomere terminal transferase, or telomerase. The sequences of telomeres in a dozen or so organisms, including humans, have been determined. Most are repetitive oligomers with a high G content in the strand that runs 53 toward the telomere. These simple sequences are repeated at the very termini of chromosomes for a total of a few hundred base pairs in yeasts and protozoans, and a few thousand base pairs in vertebrates. The three end of the G-rich strand extends 12-16 nucleotides beyond the five end of the complementary C-rich strand. This region is bound by specific proteins that protect the ends of linear chromosomes from attack by exonucleases. The enzymes that add telomeric sequences are complexes of both protein and RNA. Because the sequence of the associated RNA serves as the template for addition of deoxyribonucleotides to the ends of telomeres, the source of the enzyme, and not the source of the telomeric DNA primer, determines the sequence added. This was proven by transforming tetrahymena with a mutated form of a gene encoding the telomerase-associated RNA. The resulting telomerase added a DNA sequence complementary to the mutated RNA sequence to the ends of telomeric primers. Thus, telomerase is a specialized form of a reverse transcriptase that carries its own internal RNA template to direct DNA synthesis. The action of telomerase and its role in preventing chromosome shortening during DNA replication is discussed in more detail in Chapter 12. Knockout mice that cannot produce RNA associated with telomerase exhibit no telomerase activity, and their telomere shortens successively with each cell generation. Such mice can breed and reproduce normally for 3 generations before the absence of telomere DNA causes adverse effects, including substantial erosion of telomeres, fusion of chromosome termini, and chromosomal loss. By the 4th generation, the reproductive potential of these knockout mice declines, and they cannot produce offspring after the 6th generation. Yeast artificial chromosomes can be used to clone megabase DNA fragments. The research on circular and linear plasmids in yeast identified all the basic components of a yeast artificial chromosome YAC. To construct YACs, tell sequences from yeast cells or from the protozoan tetrahymena are combined with yeast CEN and ARS sequences. To these are added DNA with selectable yeast genes and enough DNA from any source to make a total of more than 50 kilobytes. Smaller DNA segments do not work as well. Such artificial chromosomes replicate in yeast cells and segregate almost perfectly, with only one daughter cell in 1,000 to 10,000 failing to receive an artificial chromosome. During meiosis, the 2 sister chromatids of the artificial chromosome separate correctly to produce haploid spores. Studies such as those depicted in Figure 940 strongly support the conclusion that yeast chromosomes, and probably all eukaryotic chromosomes, are linear, double-stranded DNA molecules with special regions including the centromere CEN, telomeres TEL, and autonomously replicating sequences ARSs that ensure replication and proper segregation. A technical point of considerable importance is that YACs can be used to clone very long chromosomal pieces from other species. For instance, YACs have been used extensively for cloning fragments of human DNA up to 1,000 kilobytes 1 megabase in length, permitting the isolation of overlapping YAC clones that collectively encompass nearly the entire length of individual human chromosomes. Summary. Eukaryotic chromosomes can be visualized during mitosis, when they condense into highly folded metaphase chromosomes. The set of metaphase chromosomes from a cell is its karyotype. Closely related species can have dramatically different karyotypes, indicating that similar genetic information can be organized on chromosomes in different ways. Each chromosome is composed of a single DNA molecule packaged into nucleosomes and folded into a 3rd TNM fiber, which is attached to a protein scaffold at specific sites, see Figure 935. Additional folding of the scaffold further compacts the structure into the highly condensed form of metaphase chromosomes. When metaphase chromosomes decondense during interphase, certain regions, termed heterochromatin, remain much more condensed than the bulk of chromatin, called euchromatin. 3 types of DNA sequences are required for a long linear DNA molecule to function as a chromosome in yeast cells: a replication origin, called ARS in yeast, a centromere CEN sequence, and 2 telomere TEL sequences at the ends of the DNA, see Figure 940. All eukaryotic chromosomes are thought to include 1 or more replication origins and TEL sequences, which are required for DNA replication to occur, and a CEN sequence, which is needed for efficient segregation of chromosomes to both daughter cells. Discovery of the functional elements in yeast chromosomes has allowed construction of yeast artificial chromosome YAC vectors that make it possible to clone DNAs up to 1 million base pairs in length,